Today's shiur is in memory of two people who died yesterday. One is Belda Lindemann, another is Norman Krem. Just to say a word about Belda Lindemann, again, I feel like we're going back to where we were a few weeks ago and mentioning people who, bizkutam, we would not be here. You know, weren't for them, we would not be here learning our shiur. Belda Lindemann is a visionary who took women's learning very seriously and put women's learning on the map, and was the founder of JOFA and was the, you know, very Midrashat Lindemann, where I studied many years, is from the Lindemann family, from Belda and Marcel, and it was her life's work to basically make sure that women got on the map and women could do anything and in the world of learning. And so you learn Nishma, both of them. In Bravender's, I remember. In Lindemann. Yes, in Midrashat Lindemann. She came. I remember they brought us sweatshirts. With
it's like royalty was coming.
Right. She really was royalty. Legal. You know, it.
She exuded class. And
yes.
You
remember it very well, yeah. Yeah, she was a very classy woman. Well, she lived in the city, Central Park West. And very philanthropic family, involved in all sorts of other type stucco and, you know, charity, that philanthropy, that all of things that we believe in, open-minded, orthodoxy, very much her thing. So Bisputa, many things that, you know, have affected me in my life, and I think everyone listening, everyone around. On that note, we're going to start with Daf Kuf. It's our Daf for today. We're going to start back just before the Mishnah. We were trying to figure out, I just remember what we were up to in the last section. It's about the question that, I know, just before the Mishnah. So the issue that we're relating to here is the issue of, why is this?
Do you undersell or oversell? What is the shliach?
We're trying to now. Right. So the issue that they start with right now is the issue of, if he says to one person, are we concerned that somebody doesn't want a lot of shtarot out in his name, and it's really critical that you sell only to one person? Or does it not matter, and really his issue is he wants to get the property sold? So we're going to bring another source that seems to give some indication. Tashma, again, our source, our Mishnah. Haytach shubatar ba meyatzuz, mechara lezeh b'maneh, ulezeh b'maneh, ulacharon shaveh maneh, v'dinar, ulacharon shaveh maneh v'dinar b'maneh, right? She sells the last piece that's worth 101 only for 100. Shal acharon batel v'shal kulam mecharan kayam. So what do you see here? Only the last sale is canceled, but the other three sales she did is fine. In which case, what do you see? That people don't really care to sell their property to many people. And now, as a response to this, the Gemara is going to say, no, you can't learn from here, because, and this was actually, and sometimes the Gemara is a little out of order. The Gemara made reference to this answer earlier, and it said, just like they said there, we're going to say this here. So now, we finally get to the there. Where did they say it? So, Amar Shisha Beredrav Idi Biktini. You can understand Biktini. We can understand this issue, this Mishnah, as being in a case where the Yatomim had only small plots of land. And that's why she sold them to different people. But had they had one big plot, she wouldn't have been able to split it up and sell it on four different occasions, you know, to four different people. So, therefore, again, our source doesn't indicate anything. We don't have any real indication about what the answer is to this question. Okay, Mishnah. Shoma dayanim shepichatu shtot o hosifu shtot. Mecharam batel. Shtot is a sixth. Okay, we have to learn a lot of things here. Number one, shoma dayanim. What does that mean? That's when the court comes in and appraises the value of the property. So we saw before, right, the woman can appraise it herself. We can have an outside appraiser. We can have the Beit Din appraise it. We can have a shaliach appraise it. So we're going to start comparing what's the difference between them. So if the dayanim appraise it, and they appraise it at a value that's either 1/6 more or 1/6 less, so that's what we call ona'a. Okay, that's ona'ah. The din of ona'ah means, okay, another concept. What's the din of ona'ah? If you sell something for way more or way less than its price, okay, and what you see here in this Mishnah, it's a sixth is the price. We're going to talk about this soon. Mecharan batel. Okay, it's no good, the sale, because the dayanim obviously made a mistake. Okay, and that's din ona'ah. But Rashbag Omer, this is a very famous Mishnah. It's quoted in a lot of contexts because of what he says, because it has much broader reaching impact. Micharan Kayam, what they sold is good, the Dayanim. If they sold based on the Dayanim's price, it's good, because Im Ken Ma Koch Beitin Yafeh. Because if so, what's the power of the courts? If we can't give the courts power to decide that something's worth a lot more than it really is, or something's worth a lot less than it really is. And sometimes the Dayanim come in and they say, we're going to praise this for a lot more because the Yitom really need the money, or I don't know what. In other words, the court has power that a general, regular person doesn't.
So the assumption is that not that it's making a mistake, but that it's doing that for a particular reason?
Okay, so one way to go is like that, although really, I think it goes a different direction. So that's one possible way of looking at it. But now I want to suggest a different reading, which is, really means what? If we don't give the courts power and we start second-guessing them and saying, oh, well, you did his own and you didn't appraise it properly and you didn't this, what's going to happen?
It undercuts it.
It undercuts the system, and it's going to make people lose respect for the courts. And if people lose respect for the courts, we're in big trouble. So because of ma koch beitin yafeh, we're going to give them more power. You know, and therefore, we're not going to start questioning them, and we're not going to start saying, oh, your appraisal's no good. We have to keep the sale good because that's the power of the courts, okay? It's a very powerful statement. There could be other ways of looking at it, but this is what he says. What's going to be interesting today, we're going to compare it to some other cases where we don't say Malkoch by Dinya Fair, we do, or we're going to see. And maybe there's difference in different situations. Aval im asu igeret bikoret beinehem. Okay, but if they did, now Rashi says, what's Igeret Bikoret? Hachraza. Okay, if they announced, now we talked about this before, and we're going to see this more today, that when you sell the Nechasim of the Yitomim, you sell their property, you have to make an announcement. Everybody needs to know, and it has to go, we're going to see for 30 days. We saw this also the other day. You have to announce it for 30 days so that they get the best price. Now basically, if they've made an announcement, we have to assume that even if the price was maybe jacked up or lowered, that it was okay because they made this announcement for a while and that was the price they got. We talked about already fluctuating prices, and it's not like prices are always totally fixed. So they say, if they did a nigura bikoret, afilu machru, now here we're going to see a big chiddush, even if it was shaveh mana b'matayim, oh shaveh matayim b'mana, which is clearly more than a sixth, right? Okay, even if you sell it for half the price or double the price, mecharan kayam. Okay, the assumption is that becomes the going rate, and then it's okay, even if it's half. Okay, now we're going to see, right, what if it clearly seems to indicate here, though, or maybe not, that it's half, not any more than that. Okay, if you sell it for less than half or more than double, then it might not be the case. Although, again, it's unclear from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying any kind of sale, and they're just bringing some really exaggerated case of half or double, right? But that maybe even more than that would be okay? Or are we saying that's where we draw the line? So it seems like we draw the line at a sixth, okay, on the one hand, when it comes to a regular sale of the Beit Din. But if there was hachraza, and they did this igeret bikoret, right, which is not 100% clear exactly what it means, okay? But the way it's understood is that they did this hachraza, which is a little strange, because igeret sounds like something written, and hachraza is something announced. So the fact that Rashi explains it that way seems a little like there could be a different interpretation. But then we already get to half or times two. Okay.
It's like putting an advertisement in the New York Times that something's for sale.
Yes.
So it's an announcement, but it's a written announcement. I think that's what it is.
Uh-huh. And it's also, right, but okay.
Come look at it.
So we're going to see. I can already tell you that the way the Mefarshim understand this halacha of hachraza, there's two maslulim of what you could do. Either you announce it for 30 days every day in the morning and at night. That's at the morning when people are going to work and at sundown when people are coming home from work. And then you announce it then, and then the assumption is also that people can come and look at the property, right? When people are at work during the day, they can't really go look at the property. So we're talking about in the morning and in the evening when people are either going to work, coming home from work. And then we're going to see also that the property's on display and everyone can see it and check it out. And that you do for 30 days. That's option number one. Option number two is to just do it on Mondays and Thursdays when the shuk is open. And then you don't have to do it for 30 Mondays and Tuesdays, but you do have to do it for longer. So they say 2 months every Monday, Thursday. And, you know, mathematically it works out because the assumption is more people are listening on Mondays and Thursdays because they come to the shuk. So it does, but yet it should be a little bit longer than 1 month. Okay? So they do 2 months every Monday, Thursday.
It's like the public period before a law, when they're proposing laws.
Yes, when they're proposing laws also, right. There has to be, or when you do, the shibutzim in your house, exactly. You have to have a sign up outside your house that you're planning to do it, and it has to be there for a certain amount of time to make sure that if neighbors want to complain, they can complain. Exactly. Okay. Ibayalehu. So now they ask a question. Shaliach kiman. Okay, now what's the issue here? Okay. The almana, what did we say? When it comes to the dayanim, this is, the Mishnah is talking about dayanim, right? So they make a distinction, right? 1/6 already, the mecher is batel, right? And then if there was hachraza, then even half, or right? And then we don't even know, is it ever batel? Can it be more than half? Can it be more than double? And it still won't be batel, or we don't know, or is that the cutoff point? Fine, we'll leave that as a question. But what did we learn in the last Mishnah about the almana? If she sells something worth mea ve'echad dinarim, and she sells it for 100, clearly that's not a sixth, right? That's 1/100th, right? She sells it for a little bit less. What do we say? I mean, it's 1/101.
It's her property. So
then it's canceled. If it's the Yitomim's property, she's selling the Yitomim's property, the Mecher is Batel. That's already Ona'ah, okay? So this is Ona'ah, right? If it's 1/101, right, and she messes up by that amount, that's din ona'ah. So now they want to know, so we have the dayanim in one category, we have the almanah in a different category, right, different halakha. So now they want to know, shaliach, if you send a shaliach to sell your property, kiman, who is he like? Is he like the dayanim, or is he like the almanah? Now we're going to see two different approaches. One is going to say, compare him to the almanah, because they have similarities, and the other says, compare him to the dayanim, because they have similarities. Rav Am Rav Nachman Shaliach Kedayanim. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Am Rav Nachman Kealmana. Interestingly enough, the machloket is about what Rav Nachman himself said. Two different things about what Rav Nachman, two different opinions about what Rav Nachman said. So now we're going to explain. Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman Am Rav Nachman Shaliach Kedayanim. Why? Because Ma Dayanim Lav Lididhu Av Shaliach Nami Lav Lididay. Right? The Dayanim aren't selling it for their own purposes. They're selling it on behalf of somebody else. Right? The Dayanim aren't getting the property. They're intermediaries. Likewise, the Shaliach is an intermediary. La fuke almana de lidida. To distinguish that from the almana, who's doing it for herself. She's selling the property to get her ktuba money. Well, Shmuel bar bisna rav nachman ke almana. Why? Ma almana yichida. Av shaliach yachid, la fuke beitin di rabim ninhu. The distinction between one individual versus many individuals. Okay? And therefore, right, why would that be an issue here? Because one individual can make, right, the mistake made by an individual is greater than the mistake, right, or the more likely than the mistake made by a bunch of people together. So the assumption is that if it's just a little bit more, a little bit less, chances are if three people did it together, dayanim, the chances of them having made a mistake are less. It has to be a greater amount before we assume that they made a mistake. Okay, so those are the two different approaches. V'hilchatan, how do we paskin? Shaliach ke'almana. Okay? The shaliach is judged like an almana, like a yachid, and therefore the shaliach, if he makes any little mistake, it's already canceled. U'mayshna mehad etznan. So now they say, wait a minute, if the shaliach is like the almana, and any little mistake is already going to be a little mistake, is already going to be canceled. Why is it different from something we learned yesterday? Mehaditnam, we learned at the end of class, Ha'omer, and we did it at the very end, so maybe if you don't remember, it'll be good repetition. Ha'omer l'shluchot, tzei utrom, tohem kedat balabayit. If someone tells your shaliach, go take truma to masro for me, right, or just truma, so he does it, right, now we're specifically talking about the truma, which remember, could be 1/40th, right, that's ayin yefeh, 1/50th ayin benonit, and 1/60th ayin ra'ah. Those are your options of how much truma you can take. It's not like maser where it's exactly a tenth. So, if someone tells you to do it, so you do it exactly the way the balabayit said. Whatever the balabayit wanted, that's what you do. Within the realm of 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, or even if the balabayit wanted to give more, like 1/20th, you could give. ואם אינו יודע דעתו של בעל הבית, תורם בבינונית, 1/50. אוקיי? But if פיחת 10 או הוסיף 10, תשומתו תשומה. If he's in the range of 1/40th to 1/60th, then his truma is good, even if, right, he doesn't know what the Baal HaBayit wanted, we can assume it's within this range. So what do they? What do you see here? If it's out of that range, though, right, then, I'm sorry, what you see here is that even if he goes more or less than what the Baal HaBayit actually wanted, his sale is good. And what did we just see? A shaliach is like the almanah, that any sort of small variation is no good. So then the answer, no. Hatam kevan de'ika terem ba'ayin ra'a ve'ika terem ba'ayin yafeh amar le lahachi amadetich aval hacha ta'ut tahu. There's a difference between a ta'ut and a decision. Here he made a decision, right? He decided, I'm assuming that my Baal HaBayit would have wanted me to do ayin ra'a or ayin yafeh. Okay? But he's within a normal range of what people do. So therefore, it's okay. Whereas in the case of the almanah who sells it for 100 when it's really worth 101, that's a ta'ut. That's not that there's a range of what's allowed.
It isn't a ta'ut because
it's only a distinction.
It's not a precise mark. I mean, a value. If you consider that a bottle has
so you'd have to explain house, that in this case,
somebody's going to pay more than it's valued more.
Right. It is tricky to figure out how they're distinguishing between one dinar's worth when we're talking about things that fluctuate. I think you have to understand that they think that this is not something that fluctuates. It's a type of land where it's very clear, even though it's very difficult to imagine that, because we already talked about the karko ein dino na'ah, and it's very difficult, that whole concept. I think they might be also more trying to get an idea across, that she has to be very careful with the nechasim of the yatomim, and she can't, take anything that's possibly not hers, and she has to be very careful about that. But it has to be a case here where it's very clear. Okay, I don't know what would be the case. It has to be a case where it's clear that she sold it for less than it was really worth. So Amar Le, Loi Ba'alach Lemite, right? When it comes to a ta'ut, they can say, we didn't expect you to make a mistake, but the expectation that maybe he wanted Ayin Tova or Ayin Ra'ah is a reasonable expectation. So therefore, you can't use that as a question. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, halakha kedivrei chachamim. Okay, now we're going back to our Mishnah. Remember, there was a machloket about, according to chachamim, shama dayanim should be chatu shtot, sifu shtot, if they did it for 1/6 more, 1/6 less, mecharam batel. Okay? So, Rav Nachman said, Rav Huna Bar Chanina says in the name of Rav Nachman, we paskin like chachamim. Okay? Now, this is going to raise a problem. Rav Nachman here paskins like chachamim, which means, in other words, that he doesn't hold like Rashbag, who said, we have to go with whatever the court says, even if they paid more, made them pay more, or made them pay less. Doesn't matter because Makoch Beit Din Yafeh, we have a bigger concept here. We have something more critical, which is respect for the court system. And therefore, we have Makoch Beit Din Yafeh. So now the Gemara is going to ask, if Rav Nachman Paskin Zachachmim doesn't hold Makoch Beit Din Yafeh, we have a problem, because in a different case, he does hold Makoch Beit Din Yafeh. So that's why I said when we learned it, we're going to see, is it always the same in every case? Do we say this across the board or not necessarily? But late Leila Rav Nachman, Makoch Beit Din Yafeh, does he not hold Makoch Beit Din Yafeh? V'hama Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman passed down in the name of Shmuel. Yitomim Shabao Lachlok B'nechse Avihen, Beiti Mamidim Lahem Apitropus, Uborim Lahem Chelek Yafeh. Okay, this isn't our point yet, but this is the beginning. When Yitomim divvy up the property, what happens? The assumption is, in this case, right, someone asked the other day, when they say Yitomim, do we assume they're ketanim? In this case, they're ketanim. Okay? How do we know they're ketanim? Because there's an apitropos. That's the guy who's in charge of their money. So, each one, right, the court sets up, each one gives, they give each one a grown-up, a responsible grown-up, to basically plead their case in court, and take their property that's supposed to go to them. So each one has, let's say there's five brothers, so each one has an apitropos, and those apitroposim each vie for, a fifth of the land. Okay? Now, higdilu yicholin limchot. But when they get bigger, they can say, hey, I don't want this portion that the apitropos gave me. I want that portion. I really like that Sadeh that my father had, and I want that one, and I don't want this one, and they can change it. Rav Nachman Didei Amar, but Rav Nachman himself said, that's the Tanakam, the base opinion. Rav Nachman himself said, Higdilu ein yecholim limchot. Why? Because he said, Im kem makoch beitin yafeh. If the beitin sets up an apitropus, and the apitropus is in charge of divvying up the money, so what power are we giving to the courts if we now go say, but you can override that? Right? It's basically nullifying the court system. The court set up an apitropus. You have to leave it the way it was. You can't start switching around when you get older. So now the answer, but there's a difference between the apitropsim, who each took a fifth of the land, right? And our case, where the dayanim sold land for the wrong amount. So why? Lo kasha, haditau, hadilotau, right? In the case of the apitropsim, nobody made a mistake. It's just that kid didn't want that piece of land. He wanted a different piece of land. Obviously, they each got a fifth. It's not like the apitropos didn't take a fifth. It was just each one tried to choose the nicest, right? You know when you divvy up something, right? I'll give an example, right? You have a pizza pie, right? And one piece has like a bubble on it, you know, and the other piece doesn't. And you know, the kid's all like, oh, I want that piece, right? They're each worth the same amount. Right? It's just a matter of preference. So that's not a mistake. But in our Mishnah, they actually made a mistake. And this is an interesting concept, right? This goes, again, we don't have time, but this all goes into the whole issue of lo tasur min adavar sheyagidu l'chayimenu smol, right? If the court says, like there's famous sources about how to understand that pasuk. Some sources say, if they tell you that your yamin is smol, you have to listen to them. Even if you know that it's yamin, and they tell you smol, you have to listen to the court. Meaning, even if you know they made a mistake, you have to listen to them. But another approach is not to explain the pasuk that way. It's to say, there's different midrashim on that pasuk, that if you think they're telling you that your yamin is small, but in other words, in the end, they're basically saying it's your mistake. But if they're really telling you a mistake, then we don't go with the beitin. But if you think it's a mistake, maybe you're mistaken and not them. In other words, check yourself out really well. Okay? So there's different approaches about how to say this. So he's basically saying, when they make a mistake, so we don't hold makok beitin yafeh. But when they don't make a mistake, then we obviously have to keep what they said. Even if, right, you have a preference. So then, if it's that lo ta'u, and this I kind of already explained, b'ma yecholim limchot, so then why, if they each took exactly 20%, you know, their portion, so what would they be moche about anyway? What would they be upset about? So they say biruchot. It's directions, or however you understand, right? He wanted that field, it was in that area, it had, you know, better wind, it had, you know, whatever it was. They each, you know, had a particular preference, but not that they didn't get what they were deserving of. Ki atar rav dimi amar. Okay, now we're going to have some ma'asim that happen. Okay, this exact sugi appears in Gittin, by the way. So when we get there, we'll remember this. There it comes up in a very much more interesting context, which is hafka'at kiddushin. Okay, when you uproot marriage, they say, how can you, you know, there's a whole thing, and it comes up there, makoch beitin yafeh, with uprooting marriages, and it's very interesting. So we'll get there. But anyway, ki atar rav dimi amar. When rav dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, ma'aseh va'asu rebi kedivrei chachamim. There was a ma'aseh when Rebbe had a ma'aseh before him with this ona'ah, okay, with the Shoma Dayanim, and he did like Chachamim, and he said the Mecher is Batel. Amar lefanav Parta, the son, Benosha Rabbi Lazar ben Parta, ben Benosha Rabbi Parta Hagadol, okay, they're giving his whole lineage, okay, this guy named Parta, who was the son of him, okay, obviously they were all named for each other, said to him, Rebbe, why are you doing this? Imke makoch beitin yafeh. B'hichzir Rebbe at ha-ma'aseh. Okay? Rebbe changed his mind. Okay? And he, not only did he change his mind, but after telling them the mecher is batel, he switched and he said the mecher is kayam. Rav Dimi ma'nehachi. Okay? This is the way Rav Dimi told us the story. But Rav Safra ma'nehachi. Rav Safra passed down the story differently. We all know about this. When something happens, right? There's always different versions. People remember it differently. Here's Rav Safra's version. Maset ubikesh Rebbe lasso kedibrei chachamim. Not that Rebbe actually did like chachamim, but he wanted to do like chachamim. He was planning to. He was planning to cancel the mechira. Amar lefanav parta benosha rabbi Lezer ben parta ben benosha rabbi parta agadol im ke makoch beitin yafeh. And then, so after Rabbi Parta says this to him, lo asa Rebbe et amaseh. Okay, Rebbe said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to cancel the mechira.
Was there no system of appeals?
So we're going to see. So, lema b'hakam yipalge. Maybe this is what they were arguing about. Mar savar ta'abidvar mishnah chozer, umar savar eino chozer. One opinion is to hold there's no appeal system. Okay, that's the second one, right? If the chachamim make a mistake, because it's makok medin yafeh, right? We don't go back. They made a mistake, we move on. The other guy says, no, if they were to'abid bar mishnah, by the way, we've seen this before, right? I see here, it was on Peidal and Amubed, it says, about this to'abid bar mishnah. The other guy says, no, if they made a mistake in a mishnah, here they made a mistake in understanding the mishnah, who we paskin like. So, you're chozer, right? You return it back, right? And the guy who tells the story that he wasn't machzir the maaseh, it was just the maaseh never actually happened, he must hold, if the maaseh had actually happened, then he wouldn't have been chozerbo, right? He wouldn't have changed it back. So then they say, no, that don't assume that that's the case. Everybody agrees there's an appeal system. If the chachamim make a mistake, of course you have to go back. Umar savar, hachi hava maaseh. They were just arguing about facts. They weren't, right? Someone says, this is the way I remember the story happening. And the other guy says, no, this is the way I remember the story happening. They were arguing about facts, not about conceptually what you would do if ta'abit bar mishnah. Everyone thinks if the maaseh for sure happened, he would have returned, you know, switched it back to what it was. Because everyone thinks ta'abit bar mishnah chozer. It's just a matter of what actually happened, what the facts were. Now, in terms of the appeal system, what we saw in the sugi about ta'abit bar mishnah, that there were machlokot about exactly to what extent, in which cases do you have an appeal system, which cases do you not. Okay? In other words, there's certain things that we would say you're chozer bo, and certain things that you wouldn't necessarily say that for. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef. Armelata dizvine, achrayut ayatme. Ubeitin dizavin, achrayut ayatme. This is what we saw before, that if an almana sells the land, right? Who, and then what happens? Let's say there was a lien on the property, and someone now goes and claims the land back from the owner and takes it away from the guy who bought it from the almana. Who, if she sold the nechasim of the yitomim, who in the end has to guarantee the sale? Not her, because it wasn't her property. She was just selling it to get her tshuva money. It was really the yitomim's property. So they have to have achrayut. Likewise, if the Beit Din comes in and they sell the field of the yitomim for the yitomim's sake, right? Again, the same thing. They have to, the yitomim in the end are responsible, not the Beit Din. The court's not going to have to provide the money. Right? If they're not going to guarantee the sale. So now the Gemara is going to talk about this. Pshita almana, lo itzrichale. You didn't even need to tell us almana, right? Why did you need, it's so obvious. Obviously, she's not responsible, it's not her property, right? But ki itzrichle beidina. Why do we need to teach this halacha? We need it for the court. Why wouldn't it be obvious? Ma'u detema kol dezavim mi beidina, adata lemefak le kalahu dezavim. Ka mashmalan. You might have thought that why would someone go to court to sell their property? They want to go to court because, what's the thing about court? Kala idle. What's kala? Kol. Everyone will hear about it. It will become public. If it becomes public, then whose responsibility does it become to guarantee this loan? The buyer. Because it's so public that everyone will know about it. Everyone will check into it. Everyone will know all the facts about this land. It's not like you just go to a private buyer who maybe checks into it, maybe doesn't. But the Beit Din is going to check into it, and the people coming to buy through the court are going to check into it. And therefore, what might you think? Maybe the Yitomim don't have to guarantee this loan because it was basically guaranteed by the court almost. So kamash malan that that's not the case. Okay? And therefore, it's not the case that we don't assume that because the guy bought through a court that it's all on him. No, it doesn't make a difference. Even if you sell it through the court, the Yitomim are still responsible for any chovot that were on that land. Okay. Rashbag. Now we go back to Rashbag. What did he say? Right? Mecharan kayam, right? If they do pichatushtot or sifushtot, their mechar is kayam, because in ke makoch beitin yafeh. Now we're going to say va'ad kama. Okay? To what extent? Do we say a sixth is okay, but more than that isn't? Right? Okay? How much, how far does he go? Amar of Huna bar Yehuda, Amar of Sheshet, ad palga. Okay, until half or double. Right? He says we can go as far as that. And now he's going to even prove it from a braita. Tanya nami hachi, Amar Rashbag, beitin shemachro shave matayim bemane, o shave mana bematayim, mecharan kayam. Okay, he says it explicitly in a braita that we go up to half or double, right? If you sell something for half or double, the Shoma Dayanim, the Dayanim, evaluate it for double the amount or for half the amount, the Mecher is Kayam. But then the assumption again is any more than that or less than that, right, is not going to be. Amar Amemar Mishmeidu Rav Yosef. Okay, now we're going to have a problem with this in a minute. Beitin Shemacharo Belo Hachraza. If a Beitin sells without announcing it, okay, remember you need this Hachraza we talked about. Naasu Kamisha Ta'u B'Dvar Mishnah. Okay, this is Nichse Yatomim. Okay, if they sell it Belo Hachraza without making any announcement about it, it's as if they made a mistake B'Dvar Mishnah V'Chozrin. Okay, and we return the sale, we cancel it. So now they said, what do you mean, na'asu kamisha ta'u? They are like someone who made a mistake? Vadai ta'u. They clearly made a mistake. This is a ta'u b'dvar mishnah. It's not they are like someone who made a mistake. How do we know they made a mistake? Because ditnan. It says, shoma yitomim shloshim yom. Right? If you're going to evaluate property of yitomim, how long do you have to do it for? 30 days, like we said. Vishom ha'ektesh, this is just the continuation of the mishnah, not relevant for our purposes, but interesting. Hekdesh, how many days? If you want to sell something for the hekdesh, shishim yom, you need to do 60 days. Umachrizim baboker uba erev. Okay, this is where we get it from what I told you before. We do it in the morning and at night. So now, we have on the one hand, beitin shemachru b'lo achraza are like someone who made a mistake. And on the other hand, we have shoma yitomim ishloshim yom. So now, what do they say? Well, notice what word is missing in shoma yitomim. Shoma Yitomim could be anyone evaluating it, not necessarily Dayanim. Okay, you could say that Shoma Yitomim means a regular person selling. So Ime Hahi, if you just had the mission of Shoma Yitomim, Hava Mina Hanimile Shaliach, Aval Beitin Lo. Right? You might have thought that's just if a Shaliach evaluates the property, right? And he appraises it, or he's selling the property for the Yitomim. So he has to announce it for 30 days. But Beitin, you might have thought not, and therefore Kamashmalan. That's what a Amemar comes to teach us. That a Beit Din that does it, it's like they were Toeh. In other words, they're not 100% Toeim, because really that halach is for the Shaliach. But they're also, it's basically like they're Toeim, and therefore they have to return it. Eitivei Rav Ashi la Amemar. Now we're going to have a question on a Amemar, okay, who basically said, Beit Din shemachru b'loach razan, nasu kamisha ta'u. And Chuzrim. So Rav Ashi says to Amemar, Shoma Dayanim, look at our Mishnah. Shepichatu shtot ohu tiru shtot mecharam batel. What does that seem to imply? Ha shave b'shave mecharam kayam. If the dayanim did a shuma, they did an appraisal for exactly the right amount, what would you say? Their mecher is good, right? My lav de lo ichruz. Now our Mishnah doesn't make any mention that they did hachraza. Okay? So what they're going to say right now is the implication from our Mishnah, okay? Our Mishnah seems to imply that if they did it shaveh b'shaveh, it would be kayam, afilu b'delo ichruz, even if they didn't make an announcement. And a Amemar, okay, who's what? He's an emora, not a tana, right? He can't disagree with the emoraim. So a Amemar, I'm sorry, with the tanaim, a Amemar said, right, that you need hachrazah. Without hachrazah, the whole mecher is batel. Okay, and our Mishnah says, Shaveh b'shaveh, the Mecher is Kayam. Now, our Mishnah doesn't say it explicitly, but it's obvious. It's implicit from our Mishnah. So now we're going to have a bunch of different answers how to answer this. So the first answer is obvious. Lo, b'di ichruz. It must be that our Mishnah is a case where there was hachraza. Okay, and therefore, there was hachraza, and therefore, we're not chozer. Okay, and therefore, it works. Okay, because here, right, here it was B'li hachraza, right? B'li hachraza, it's batel. And here, it was with hachraza, and therefore lo batel. Okay? So that makes sense. But now they say, no, that can't work. Because ha mi deseifa b'di ichruz, ha veresha b'di lo ichruz. The last case was talking about hachraza. And therefore, the first case can't be talking about hachraza. Where? Do you remember this? De katane seifa, and here's where we see that they assume that the sigeret bikorit is hachraza. Because the Gemara says, it says in the Seifa, imasu igeret bikoret, afilu machru shaveh mane b'matayim, or shaveh matayim b'mane, micharan kayam. So therefore, what are they saying? If they did hachraza, it says in the last line of the Mishnah, then it doesn't matter any amount, it will be fine. So what do you learn from here? That the first case must have been without a chazak because it didn't make any mention of it. So now we have a problem, because how could it be that the mecher is kayam if there wasn't hachraza? And Amemar says the mecher is kayam, and the mecher is batel if there wasn't hachraza. So now the answer below kasha. Kam bidvarim shemachrizim alehem. Okay? That's Amemar. Amemar was said bidvarim shemachrizim alehem. And our Mishnah was talking about dvarim she'ein machrizim alehem. Okay, what does this mean?
In both cases.
Yes. It doesn't ever say karka. Shoma dayanim could be a shuma of metaltalim. That's what we're going to say right now. Okay? So, kamadurim shemachrizim alehem and kamadurim she'ein machrizim alehem. Okay, what are dvarim shemachrizim alehem or ein machrizim? Elu hein dvarim she'ein machrizim alehem. Ha'avadim v'hametaltalim v'hashtarot. Okay, if you want to sell an eved, or you want to sell movable property, or you want to sell a shtar, like I have an IOU from someone, and instead of me getting paid back, I'm going to sell it to someone else. I'll say, I'll sell you. He owes me 100 shekel. I'll sell it to you for 90, but it's your responsibility to collect it now, right? So I need the money right now. I'm not getting it back from the guy who borrowed the money from me, so I'd rather get the money up front. I'll take 90, and I'll, you know, he'll get the 100. So now they're going to say, why are these things that we don't do hachrazah for them? Avadim ta'amamai, shema yishmu'u v'yivrchu. That's a great line, right? We're worried the Eved will hear that you're announcing that you're selling him, and he won't want to be sold, so he'll run away. Mitaltalin ushtarot, shema yignivu. I mentioned before that what happens, you put them out for display. Someone's going to want to look at your shtar and make sure it's not a forged document, right? Someone's going to want to look at your mitaltalin and see that they're in good shape. So the assumption is you're kind of have them in this area where people are coming to look and see, and once you have that kind of thing, it's very easy for people to steal them, as opposed to karka, which, you know, someone's going to come look at your house, they can't possibly steal it. So therefore, we don't do hachraza. Okay, that's one option of explaining the difference. So again, the Mishnah where it says it's kayam even without hachraza, it's because it's talking about things that were not machriz, meaning it's not talking about karka, it's talking about either avadim, metaltalin, and shtarot. And when a memar said a statement that if you without hachraza, the whole mecher is batel, he was talking about karkaot and things like that. And here we go back to something we learned before, that there's certain times where we sell without achrazah, and that's because we need the money right away. Okay, karga is the tax collectors, you know, presumably the non-Jewish tax collectors aren't going to wait 30 days for us to get the money, and the Yatomim need the money right now to pay. You know, they come to take the money, they're going to take away their whole property if they don't pay the tax. So obviously we can do it right away. Mizone, they need food, okay, right? If the woman needs food, we can sell it right away. And likvura, okay, if we have to bury, right, for the burial of the guy who died, right? You need money for the burial immediately. You're not going to wait 30 days. You're not going to bury the guy 30 days later. So in those cases, we allow them to sell the nechasim of yatomim without an achraza. V'ibayit ema, okay, another option. Kam b'makom she'machrizim v'kam b'makom she'ein machrizim. Now we're going to learn that in certain cities, they didn't do achraza at all. Okay, this is an interesting one. Not clear 100% why. De'amar Rav Nachman, me'olam lo asu igeret bikoret b'nahardeah. They never did hachrazot in Nahardea, okay, right? One of the main cities in Babel. Savor mine, we assume from here why, mishum debekiye b'shuma. They thought that the reason was they didn't need to do it because there were such good appraisers there that everything was exactly, right? The whole reason for achraza, remember, is what? We want to make sure if you sell something quickly, you might sell it for less money than it's worth. What do you want to do? You want to see, right? This happens typically. You put a house on the market. You're not going to sell it to the first person because you want to see. Maybe you'll be able to get a higher price for it. So that's the concept. But in this case, right, so when it came to we don't have time, so we don't have time. We have to sell it right away if we need it for the kura or something like that. Here we have, we know that in Nahardea, this is at least what they think. We're going to reject this in a minute. But the assumption was, whenever it says savor mine, it means they thought, but they were wrong. That in Nahardea, they had the best appraisers ever, and therefore you never needed to worry that they were not going to get the best price. So there was no need for hachraza. Amar le Rav Yosef Bar Miyumi, l'didi mafar shele minei de Rav Nachman. I learned from Rav Nachman that the reason is mishum dekaru lehu b'nei achle nichse de achrazta. They're the sons of people who are eating the nechasim of the achraza. Okay. What this means is unclear, and who this is referring to is unclear. The basic interpretation is to assume that we're talking about people who buy this kind of property. If you make an announcement, right, who are you making announcements for the Yatomim? Now, it's obviously, the Yatomim are always considered in a more desperate situation. If you start to announce this, everyone's going to know that they're in a desperate situation, and therefore, they're going to take advantage of them. So now, who are people going to call B'nai Achlei Nechsei D'Achrazta? So some people say it means they're going to say about the Yatomim, oh, they're Nevuchs and they're, you know, they need their stuff and it's going to be embarrassing for them. Other people say, no, we're talking about the people who buy, right? People who take advantage of people when they're down. In other words, anyone who buys from the sales of Yatomim is going to get a bad name. So if we make a hachrazah about it, then it's going to make it more public, and then people are going to call them bad names, and that's also not a good thing. And then what's going to happen in the end? People aren't going to want to buy nechasim of Yatomim because they're going to look like there are people who take advantage of other people. So they're not going to, that's the main opinion, that it's really talking about them. But like I said, there's some other, some people say the appraisers are going to be called that, and some people say it's the Yatomim are going to be called that. But the main thing seems to go with the fact that we're talking about the people who buy from them, and then people are going to stop buying, and then the Yatomim are really going to be Nevuch, because no one's going to want to buy their land. And that's why in Nahardea, they decided not to do Achrazah at all. So then, going back to how does that answer our question? So again, the Mishnah that says it's Kayam, would be taught even without Achrazah, is because it's talking about a place like Nahardea, where they never did Achrazah. And therefore, but the Amemar, who was talking about you need Achrazah, would be talking about a different place where they do Achrazah. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmua, Mitaltalin Shel Yatomim, Shamin Otan Umachuin Otan La'alter. Okay, he says, when it comes to Mitaltalin, we sell them immediately. What are we concerned with Mitaltalin? Okay, it depends what kind of Mitaltalin. The assumption seems to be they're talking about things that will get ruined if we wait. Rav Chista Amar Abimi, Mochuin Otan L'Shvakim. We wait until the Shuk, till when everybody comes to the Shvakim. Okay? Because we don't want to, right? You know, on the one hand, they'll start getting ruined. They'll depreciate in value. On the other hand, they'll always get a better price on the Shuk day. So the amount that they depreciate might be counterbalanced by the fact that in the Shuk, there's a lot of buyers, and that obviously is going to raise the price. The low pligi, there's actually no machloka between them. Because had the mikrav shuka, had the merchak shuka. Okay? If the Shuk is close, then obviously we wait for the day of the Shuk. If the Shuk isn't close, then we don't wait. Rav Kahana, now we're going to see a few cases. Hava biyadei shichra de Rav Meshar Shia bar Chilkai Yitama. Okay? He was the Yatom of Chilkai, okay? And Rav Kahana had in his hands beer from Rav Meshar Shia, who was a Yatom. Okay? So he had some beer from him. Shehiye ad rigla. He waited till the regel, okay? Which is right, not just the day of the Shuk, he waited till the regel to sell the beer. Even though it might go down in value, what did he say? Since he's a Yatom, I want to get the best absolute price. I'm going to wait till the regel. When? And we're going to say, they explain that on the regel, it's not just that there's more buyers, it's also that people have cash on them. And they're not going to buy, right, on credit. And then who knows if this guy will ever get his money, because people generally bought on credit. So on the regel, everybody knows they're going to have a lot of hotza'ot that come with money, and therefore that was the best time to sell. Or some people say it's not necessarily on the regel they'll more people come with money. It's just a matter that on the regel, they can be pickier. They can say, oh, you don't have cash on you? I'm not going to take your price. I'm going to wait, you know, till I find someone who has cash. Obviously, though, in the end, it's weird because in the end, he has to wait till the regel to sell it, and all that time, he doesn't get the cash. Like, if he wants the money so up front, it's a little tricky. Yeah.
Rav Masharshia was a Yatom. He was obviously, if he was a Rav, he wasn't a child anymore, and he was a Bogar, and he could have been selling it himself. Why did he have somebody selling his stuff?
It could be he just sent a shaliach to sell his stuff. It could be that. Right, it's a good question. I assume also we're specifically talking about, and he might have his own money, but this was money that he got from inheritance. And inheritance property always has different laws to it. The other thing is it could be just telling the story of Rav Masharshia when he was little. Just because they call him Rav Masharshia now doesn't mean that he wasn't, right, he wasn't young at the time. It's a good question. So Amar, what did he say? Apapi denafal be itzatzta, maite zuza harife. Right? Even though it might get somewhat ruined, people will bring zuze harifa, right? They'll bring actually cash, and therefore it'll be better. Ravina hava biyad echamra de ravina zute, yatme bar achte. Okay, hava. No, bar achte. He had in his hands wine from the younger Ravi, or the small Ravina, who was a Yatom, the son of his sister. As Ravina had his own wine, and he had the wine of this Yatom. Okay, it was his nephew. Have a kamasik lele sichra. He wanted to sell it, right? How do they explain sichra?
It's the name of the place.
Oh, okay. He wanted to sell it in sichra.
And he's selling beer.
Right, and it's shechar. Well, he's selling chamar. He's selling wine, but yeah. So he wanted to sell it in sichra. Until the kamei dravashi, amar le, mahilam tuye bahadan. Can I sell his stuff with my stuff, or do I have to wait? So I guess he was concerned with waiting for the regal, I assume. Or maybe, you know, his question was, am I allowed, does his shechar, his chamar, have his wine have different laws than my wine? Like, I want to sell my wine here. I have his wine too. Can I sell it all together? So Amar Lei, Ziel, you can go sell it. Go. Lo adif miditcha. In other words, you're obviously trying to find the best price for your own wine. So therefore, the assumption is that you're not taking advantage of him. If you're going to sell it with your stuff, you can't, you know, I assume you're not being mifater on the price of your stuff, so therefore you can sell it along with your stuff. Okay, so with the last line is very interesting, because in the end what it's telling us is, even though they set up these klalim of, you know, it should be on the regular, it should be on the day of the shuk, in the end, what are they really concerned with? People taking advantage. And clearly in this situation, there would be no taking advantage of, because otherwise he'd also be taking advantage of himself. So therefore, as long as we know that they're not being taken advantage of, then it's fine.
Could actually see an argument where they would say he's in Yatom and you're not. Make sure you sell his first.
Uh-huh.
You could see it's not a question of taking advantage of, but make sure that his gets sold because you now have much more to sell.
Right, but that wasn't that. Really his question.
No,
though, right? He wanted to know: can I not even sell it here? Do I have to do other things to make sure I sell it?
I get that, but you're not saying
you're
particular look out for him because he's
right.
At home or something like that.
Right, right. In theory, it would be better if they, you know, you would expect them to say sell his first so that you make sure it gets sold, but they don't say that. Yeah.
No, right.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ah, okay. There we go. The dad says, "In whose name is it quoted?"
Minor.
That he was an orphan minor at the time. He wasn't yet Rav Misharish. Yeah. Yafet. Okay. Thank you.